Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sean Phillip. And remember, you could follow us on Twitter/X at Liftoff Jets. You could follow Charmin at GrownFolk1980. You could follow myself at CP7NY. You could find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at ThomasBryce2017, for all the other scheduling of the other great shows that are on there. So, Charmin, another quiet week in Jetville.
Yeah, incredibly quiet, my friend. I mean, you could hear a pin drop around.
It's never a dull moment, man.
It's never a dull moment, my friend. Most definitely not. And even when we shouldn't be in the headlines, we somehow find our way into the headlines. And it's never in a positive way.
No, never. And it never ends.
Yep.
So I'm sure everybody heard about the Mecole Hardman interview podcast, whatever he was on, with Ryan Clark. Basically, we'll hit some of the bullet points quick. So we don't have to get into the whole thing, obviously. But basically, one part was he said he refused to return punts versus Kansas City because he felt special teams coach Brant Boyer had misled him about the punt returning job in camp and that he didn't have enough time to prepare when asked on the night of the KC game to step in for Xavier Gibson, who had tweaked an ankle a few days earlier. Hardman said he was dealing with his own injury, a hyperextended pinky that made it tough to catch. He said Salah tried to convince him to do it, but Hardman said he told him, "I'm not catching for that man," meaning the special teams coach. Hardman candidly admitted that by that point, I was so checked out, like it was over with. I had already talked to KCGM Leach and also Patrick Mahomes, like, come get me. 2 weeks later, he was traded back to Kansas City. And why it didn't work out with the Jets, basically he says, it's the lies and the way they handled me. I didn't like it at all. He made it clear that other than Garrett Wilson, he felt he was good or better than every wide receiver on the team. Well, that's not that far-fetched. On the Jets' 2023 culture and also Hackett, you just got a new offensive coaching staff that came in and there's no standard there. Everybody does what they want to do. Granted, the defense has more of a stabilized standard with the coaching staff on that side. So the defense has a standard, but the offense is just like, we'll just figure it out. It's Aaron's show. Let Aaron do what Aaron does. Then when Aaron goes down, it's like, we don't know what to do. So that was just some bullet points that Rich Cimini put up instead of me tracking down everything, but thank you for Rich Cimini's tweet on that. So what was your thoughts on this?
This is incredible, man. I mean, if you could argue against your legitimacy in any way, shape, or form, I think that would make a good case study in how to do it. You know, you want to make a point about how bad you are of a teammate, how much of a child you are, how much of a pain in the butt you are, or how, I don't know, what's the word, entitled you are? Chris, he could tell this story, right, in a vacuum, and people would believe him. But if you followed the Jets, you would know that this guy was beat out by a startup, right?
Basically by an underrated guy.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think that's where the story ends. Because if I'm getting paid millions of dollars and I can't even get my starting job, right, and I can't beat a guy that barely made it into the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would damage me, especially my My ego, whatever, however massive it was, because guess what? I'm tied to one the best team in the NFL with the best quarterback in the NFL with the best tight end in the NFL. The most, I literally, my ego is this big, right? And I'm coming in and I'm gonna change the New York Jets. I'm gonna win. I'm gonna be the number one. You could not take the starting job, from Xavier Gibson, who barely made it into the league, because maybe you didn't try hard enough, you didn't work hard enough, to prove to the coaches that you deserve what it is. You thought you were just gonna get the position because of your name and where you came from, right? So I would, right? If your ego was that big and you got crushed because, you know, Gibson won, and then all of a sudden now you got to settle for returning punts, and you were as entitled as this man sounded, that would damage you, your ego, incredibly. Now I got to return punts? Hell no, I'm not doing that. My finger hurts.
Right.
Come on, man. Anybody that knows anything about people in general, listen to this man speak and tell me if that doesn't sound like a whiny, crybaby, entitled fool. And there's nothing you could tell me other than that. You can't prove to me otherwise. What he said about the Jets coaches could be true. Actually, it would probably be more true than most of what he said, because we know that there was a lot of missing links when it came to, especially offensively. We saw it with our own eyes. If you follow the Jets, you know that there were incredible amounts of confusion on offense. Nobody knew what to do. The play calling was incredibly simple and, you know, again, Madden-like. You know, there was no real creativity going on there, you know, and no really leaning on, oh, well, we have a quarterback here that actually has some skill. We could kind of bend the game to fit what he does. There was nothing. So you're telling me that helmets was on the ground and you know, which probably says that there was a lot of undisciplined stuff going on offense. I wouldn't bat an eye, because I would believe that,
right?
You know, because you watch the performance on offense, and then you watch the performance on defense. There is on defense, everybody follows through completely. Even the lowest guy in the totem pole ends up making one of the biggest plays in the NFL, in the season. What's his name? The backup safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
The backup safety. He ends up making the play that they actually, I think they gave it to Quinn and Williams. That's safety, right? He actually blew up a tight end who was trying to block him up and pushing the guy back into the end zone. This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You see that. You see the camaraderie and the hard work. You see it pay off on defense. On the other side, you don't. So there's nothing that Mecole Hardman could have told me about the coaching staff on offense and anything that would surprise me in any way. Everything else he said was an indictment on him personally.
Yeah.
That's as far as I'm going to go, and there's nothing else I'm going to say. I said, I think I even spoke even too long about this.
No, I agree. Most of the stuff he said kind of buried himself. And then, you know, him saying, you know, oh, I called the Kansas City GM and I called up Mahomes and say, come and get me. And then a couple of weeks later, they trade for him. That's going to be tampering. And hopefully the league, you know, sees this, and maybe he cost him a draft pick as well with his stupid mouth, you know. But I mean, some of the things he said, most of the things he said, like you said, were against himself, not against the Jets, you know. And listen, we already got the report you know, the athletic report to really kill the Jets. So we know where the Jets are. We know this is a mess, right? We know on the offensive side, it's a complete mess. And we're relying on Aaron Rodgers to basically fix it, you know, on the field at least. Before we get there, obviously, we're going to go through this offseason. Joe Douglas has to fix the offensive line. And we found out this week also that Tomlinson was cut, the guard, who didn't play well. He was reliable. The guy didn't, I don't think he missed a game with us, but he wasn't good. So they cut, I think they saved about $8 million with the cap. So we're going to see a lot of, maybe not cuts, but definitely restructures to save us more money under the cap so we could try to sign some guys. What do you think of Tomlinson getting cut?
About time. This man was getting paid the amount of money of one of the best guards in the NFL, and he hadn't performed on that level at all. So one of the things he had going for himself was he was available, and he was the only healthy offensive lineman in the last couple of years in Jets land. So hey, kudos to you on that. But other than that, you did nothing, my friend. Absolutely nothing. You ranked bottom tier on almost every ranking play of guard play in the NFL. You didn't bring anything of the guy we saw in San Francisco over to the New York Jets. And this is a recurring theme, in my opinion. If you have these guys that are on their last legs of their career, and their teams are letting them go, and then they just want a guy for now, you know, for the next 2 years. And hey, man, he's played so well. You know, he could do so well for the Jets. That's not the same guy. We need to stop this. Whoever they're bringing from whichever team that used to be a star on that team that has played 15 years in the league and is on his last legs, if he comes to New York, that's not the same guy. You cannot expect that guy that played 10, 12 years in Detroit or in San Francisco or quote-unquote Green Bay to come in, or the Cowboys to come in, all of a sudden to come in over to New York, and all of a sudden he's going to save the franchise. He's going to all of a sudden play when, number one, he's coming out, probably coming off of some major injury, or has displayed in the last couple of years an incredible bout of back-to-back major injuries. These guys are not the same people. I know I'm going off topic a little bit, but I needed to make a point. Stop. Grow our own.
Right.
Grow our own guys. This is what the Jets are supposed to do. And you know, this is what the Jets are supposed to do. And unfortunately, we keep paying these people incredible amounts of money, and they're amounting to nothing. It's the fleecing of the Jets, in my opinion, every time they bring those guys around. What, you probably have to go all the way back to Alan Faneca to find an offensive line that the Jets traded for or got from a team that actually played well for the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't think we got to go that far, but I'm a little exaggerating, but come on, man.
Right. it's pretty sad. Like, and think about it. Joe Douglas came here. One of the first things he said was he was going to build an offensive line, right? He was going to protect, at the time it was Sam Darnold, but that was the one thing he said. He goes, I'm here. I know how to build an offensive line, you know, because he was with the Ravens when they won a championship and Philly. It's unbelievable that they have not been able to put together an offensive line, at least an average offensive line, you know, and I get it. A lot of guys got hurt, and it's, you know, if you want to call that bad luck, whatever. It still hasn't been done. That's the point, you know, and it's incredible that we're going into this offseason now. You know, now we need three starting linemen. So we got Tippmann and we got Vera Tucker. And one of the things that Joe Douglas said today in the press conference was that they're not going to move him. Wherever they decide to put him is where they're going to put him. And having that he could play four different spots at a very high level, it gives them more options, you know, on how to build this offensive line this year. Okay. But, you know, that's great. But you still got to find three other guys to fill this, to fill these holes. Wherever you put them, Tippmann, you could basically put in three spots also, right? You got, you could put him in guard, at guard or at center. So it's still going to be an unbelievable task, number one, to find three starting offensive linemen to, you know, to work together, number one. Number two, it's going to be hard to find them because who's going to want to come here after everything we've heard this offseason and going into a season where it's a win or bust season, basically, right? If we don't make the playoffs, it's going to be clean house, right? It's going to be, I think we all kind of know this. It's going to be head coach. It's going to be a clean house thing. And we don't know what's going to happen in 2025. So basically it's 2024 or bust. So you got to talk, you got to try to convince a player to not only come here, but I mean, I don't know. How would you convince Sharman? Maybe because I'm trying to figure out, how do you convince a player to come to a team that's basically win or bust? And with a not a great track record to boot.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. Every season that the draft comes around, everybody starts drafting players to the Jets in a vacuum, not taking into consideration the situation that the Jets are currently in. And it's kind of an annoying thing. I mean, mock drafts are fun for a lot of people, but for Jets fans, it's not, in my opinion. And I think I'll just speak for myself. I won't say everyone, but for me, it's not fun. And the reason why is because it's incredibly difficult to map out the situation the Jets are in and talk about what you need specifically. You could say that you need three offensive linemen, but you don't just need three offensive linemen. You have to take into consideration, again, coming from our line of thinking on this podcast, Chris and I have told you over and over again that we have very little trust in Keith Carter as someone that would basically mold going forward a talented group of young offensive linemen, right? So if you go in the draft and you draft some talented guys that need coaching, this is not the place for them. You need guys that are established and have a great foundation that will be able to withstand Keith Carter's subpar coaching. That's what you need. And that's different from just going out there and plucking guys that you think that have potential. And people are out there saying, oh, this guy would be great. He just needs a little bit coaching. Well, we don't have that.
Right.
We don't have the kind of coaching you would need to grow a player like that. So you need to have somebody more solid with more foundation. So this is the conversation on offense, in my opinion, especially when you're talking about offensive line. A lot of what we're looking for, from our opinion, is someone or players with incredible amounts of experience and an incredible foundation that could be built, excuse me, that could be built on. And there are guys like that in the league, in the draft. The problem is a lot of people are not going to tell you that they're going to go to the Jets. So everybody's going to take the flashy guy. And the flashy guy probably doesn't have the kind of experience or the foundation that the Jets would need them to have, you know. So that's my take on the whole offensive line thing. I have a different view of this. I'm going to keep my opinion for now about exactly where I would go. I can't wait for us to have our friend Andrew to come on, because when he comes on, this is where we're going to give most of our opinion on what the draft is looking like. And he's definitely going to bring a little bit more of a in-depth look at a lot of the players. I think I'm gonna kind of wait until then to kind of give my feelings to what I think the Jets would do. But I'm kind of giving it to you already because I'm not with the Flash. You need solid guys. You
Right, you
know,
need that
guys with
rotation.
experience, guys that have incredible amount of snap numbers in college, in my opinion. That's what you're looking for. So he could withstand whatever crap that's gonna come and happen after this season, and then you could build off that after the fact.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you definitely need a foundation on that offensive line. You need a strong foundation, especially with Rodgers, who's now going to be over 40 years old, coming back from the Achilles surgery. You need that really good offensive line. You're not going to be able to get away with an offensive line that we've had here for the past couple of years. We're not going to win with that. Now with a 40 over 40 year old quarterback back there who cannot scramble. You know, maybe yeah, if we had a young kid, if we had Lamar Jackson, if we had Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl with Cincinnati, and their offensive line, we talked about it a lot, was not great. But you know what? It was good enough. But here, I think we have to build that strong foundation. And you know what? And Joe Douglas has not been able to do it, but now he's got to build with basically, we only have two here. And Damian Woody brought up a good point on Twitter today too about saying Carter Warren should play a big role on this offensive line. Now,
This is where this my conversation, what I was just saying a while ago, is basically where that came from, because I wholeheartedly disagree. If this was the Jets with a different coaching staff on offense,
right.
that weren't in the predicament they're in, where they win or go home type of season, where you could literally build this kid up for the next year or two, I would agree. Chris, this does not fit this young man, unfortunately. I still say give him a shot. I still say, but as a backup, you cannot tell me you're going into this season trying to build this kid up to be a starter. What are you talking about?
Right.
I watched him play. You can make an incredible amount of mistake. You could make mistakes in football. The kid that we drafted at center, he made mistakes. But when you watch his film, you saw that he's a different caliber offensive lineman, because the plays started mounting up. Play after play, you started seeing him not making the same mistakes over and over again, learning, understanding the power of the game, the speed of the game, little by little. Carter Warren consistently looked out of place, not just technique wise,
Right.
foot speed, power. Come on, man. I understand why offensive linemen do this, especially pro offensive linemen, because it's like their brothers, the little brothers. I want my little brother to get a shot. I understand in a vacuum, fine. But in this situation, I wouldn't want it for him, because he could fail miserably, and that would gash him incredibly badly, Chris,
Right.
and might hurt his what's the word I'm looking for? His confidence.
Right. Well, here's
I
where,
don't want that for him.
right. But here's where Woody was saying was where he made his point, because Joe Blue would put up all the clips of Carter Warren, and it was, really bad, obviously, what we're talking about. He was really bad last year. But Woody was saying also too was that he missed all of the OTAs. And he missed training camp, right? So he was playing catch up the whole season. So I think Woody was saying, listen, if you start him this year, not start him, but if he's in, if he's playing and if he's participating in OTAs and in training camp, you're probably going to see a different player.
Well, this is what I'm saying, Chris, right? I'm not saying to throw the kid out. I'm
Right.
just saying that he cannot be the one that you're leaning on going into the season.
No, I
Let
don't.
him fight it out. Let him be a backup.
Right.
But you need to find someone that you could lean on, someone you know going into the season that's going to start.
Right.
And so if the kid goes out, and beats that person out for the position, Frank, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You understand what I'm saying? But if you're telling me that this kid is supposed to be your plan for 2024, man, listen.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, and I totally agree with what you're saying. You still got to bring in a veteran, someone who you know you could count on. And you know what? Put them in there, and during camp, if Warren shows up that much, then at least you know, hey, I got a capable, at the very least, a backup. Is he going to beat the starter, whoever that might be, whether it's the number 10 overall pick or if it's going to be a veteran, like, you know, we keep hearing Tyron Smith, you know? Let's just use him for an example. I'm not saying that's the guy we're going to get, but let's just say it's him. Yeah, they're not going to start Warren over Tyron Smith, especially if they sign him to, you know, the money that he's probably going to be asking for. So, but yeah, put him in and let's see what he can do with a full OTA, full camp. And then if he's ready to go, yeah, you know, you got that really good young backup that's ready to go if needed, because that's what we thought Max Mitchell was going to be last year. And Max Mitchell kind of took a step back last year, right?
Yeah, he did not perform. He did not perform. Yeah, Mitchell, in my opinion, will always have flashes of good play. He's actually a pretty good player. He's serviceable.
Right.
Yeah, the reason why he's a good backup is because he's actually showed flashes of a starter. So he has that potential in him. He just hasn't gotten there. And for whatever reason, the injuries or whatever the issue was, he wasn't able to fully realize whatever he wanted to last year. And again, listen, you can't use that as an excuse. You still have to perform. But again, do you lean on this guy? No. Absolutely not.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is why it's so monumental, in my opinion. It's because under the circumstances, you need surety. And none of these guys are giving you this.
Right. The problem is, even if Carter Warren does improve that much over playing and, you know, participating in OTAs and in camp, like, you don't know that yet. That's the problem. You know, and that's why in the off season is where you got to get the guy, like you said, or multiple guys to lean on to be that starter, because you don't know what Warren's going to be. You hope that he's going to develop into possibly a starter or at least a really good backup. You hope that, but you don't know that for sure. And that's the problem. There's too much of an unknown to be counting on him as your starter. Yeah. And I would hope that's not what Damian Woody was saying in his text. I don't think so. I think he was saying that they have to build, you know, through the draft. They have to build guys.
I agree.
Right.
I will agree with him on that.
Because I think that's what he was trying to say.
Retreads are not the way to go, my friend.
Oops.
You know,
that
as Jets fans, we've known this for the longest, and we've suffered through so many of them that we still get whiplash off of how bad they played when they came to New York. So this is why building for the draft is essential in a lot of ways. But again, goes back to what I was saying before, you know, and I it'll just sound incredibly repetitive at this point, but if you're not trusting this the situation or the coaching situation you have to build or to advance the players you want to have, the young players you're going to get, man, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. There is so much that needs to happen to make this situation kosher that it just sounds impossible at this point. And I you know, like all of us, I'll be keeping a close eye on what Joe Douglas is doing. But man, I don't know, Chris.
And you know what? And the best, you know, left tackle basically on the free agent market is Tyron Smith, which, you know, multiple, you know, Pro Bowler. Problem is, this guy hasn't played a full season since 2015. You know, he's at least four games every year since 2015.
And then you're going to have him on a season where you want to make the playoffs or probably make a run to the Super Bowl. You want to have that guy on your line? Come on, man. Come on.
And he's 33.
Yeah.
Not a young guy.
I mean, it's not an indictment on him that he's 33, because normally offensive linemen around 30, when they've hit their 30s, between 31 and I want to say their mid-30s, that's their best. To me, your peak years, it's crazy to say, but your peak years in playing offensive line in the NFL as the most senior of your years, in my opinion. If you watch over the years, some of the best seasons at offensive line have been by older players that are in their 30s. So, is it something? Would it surprise me if Taylor ends up having an incredible season, one more for the road because of a storied career? No, it wouldn't.
Right,
because that stuff happens. It is just what the NFL is made up of, and it just happens that these guys are made up of the right stuff, and sometimes they just catch lightning in a bottle. But are you willing to bet your whole season on that?
Exactly.
There you go.
But that goes back to what we're saying too. Like, if you don't develop guys, those are the type of players you're going to be signing now. You're going to be signing Band-Aids again, who we had the last couple of years anyway, with Dwayne Brown, right? Look what we got. I mean, he was 38. He's just breaking down. He's just at that age where it's, you're done. You know, early 30s is not bad, but again, that's the kind of guy you're going to get right now, because that's all that's really there at tackle this year. Tackle is, you know, another position for us that we need, obviously, is wide receiver. Thankfully, we don't need a number one. And this is where I think Michael Nania posted an article that he wrote, meaning like, we don't have to get a T. Higgins. We don't need a number one guy, because you know what? We do have Garrett Wilson. I think Jet fans sometimes forget we already have that number one guy. So we don't need a number one receiver to go along with him. We need a really good number two. Yeah. So, you know, I think we talked about him already, but Calvin Ridley, I think, would be perfect for our team. Am I right?
I agree with you. Watching him play in Jacksonville, to me, I think he could be even better. That's the craziest part about it. And I think his flashes is what's needed, because he is the type of player that when he flashes, that flash would, in my opinion, illuminate Garrett Wilson even more, because you wouldn't have a choice but to pay attention to him, because he could be that dangerous. Right. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a number one. You know, I don't think he could be that number one guy, Calvin Ridley, but he's definitely a great number two. You know what I mean? He's right there. So, like, last year he had 76 catches, just over 1,000 yards. I know he started off really good, then he kind of quieted down, and then he picked it up again at the end of the year. That also could be the quarterback too. Lawrence, you know, Lawrence was kind of, you know, iffy all season. He was good, he was bad. So, but he's definitely a guy for me. I mean,
I agree with you, Chris.
He makes a lot of sense.
I mean, there's,
we don't need
him. He makes a lot of sense. Yeah, he's really good at route running. Yeah. He's fast. He's a downhill threat, which would allow Wilson to do what he does best, in my opinion, and get open quickly underneath. You know.
Yeah, I mean.
So I don't know.
The one thing, there are options. That's what my point was. With wide receiver, there's options. And we're not as desperate, and there are a lot of good options. You got, like I said, Mike Evans as well. T. Higgins was tagged, so he's probably out of it, because unless they'll trade him, but I don't think we'll be trading for him anyway. Curtis Samuel's another guy you could give a shot to. Tyler Boyd, Kendrick Bourne from New England, DJ Chark, Paris Campbell. Another name that we talk about too, and I'm surprised he's not tagged, is Michael Pittman from Indianapolis.
Incredibly surprised.
I don't understand why he's not tagged.
Very useful guy. He could do so many different things in so many ways. He's a threat downfield because of his size. He's not the best of route runners, but because of his size, again, he could box out a lot. So a lot of different types of routes you could run with him to create. He could create space to catch the ball. Yards after the catch type of guy, he could do that. Blocking in the run game, he's incredibly useful in my opinion.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a great option in my opinion.
Yeah,
I agree.
So we'll see. I mean, that's why I look at with wide receiver. There's options there. Tackle, like I said, it's going to be tough. we're going to get more into the draft. So I didn't want to get into the draft, but I think another position that we talked a little bit about last week was safety. Safety is another spot I think we may have to look at as well.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I think on Jess X Factor, and if you guys don't know, Chris and I we're pretty well connected to Jess X Factor because the partial owner of Jess X Factor, Joe Blewett, actually was the one that named our podcast.
Yes.
And which is crazy. But the craziest thing about it, they actually have Rivka Food has an article talking about the replacement of Jordan Whitehead, which I've kind of openly spoken about on this podcast. And again, I would tell you, if you don't have a membership with these guys, I mean, incredible work they all do. But one of the reasons why I had to bring this up was the fact that they showed how bad Whitehead was last year. He allowed more touchdowns, 7, than any other safety in the NFL, whilst ranking in the bottom 10 in yards per target and missed tackles, 18%. Think about this. This is crazy. Yeah. And the Jets coaching staff was speaking to us, telling us that oh, they trust him so much and all that, you know, whatever. You guess what they did in 2022, right? Which they played him like a player that they trusted, because guess what? 54, almost 55% of his snaps he played in the deep, 32% in the box, and 10% in the slot. You know what they did this year? They took away a ton of his deep play, bringing it down to 47%, right? Mm-hmm. Took a little bit of his box play away and raised his slot play up to 20%. You know why you would do that? It's because you're trying to protect a player that you know that has a weakness.
Right.
Instead of doing all these chess moves that are not working, because consistently, again, this guy is giving up touchdowns, missing tackles at an alarming rate, replace him. Replace the man. He was bad against tight ends. He was giving up high passer ratings when he came into the box because he couldn't cover in the box, which is incredible for a player of his size. He should be able to do that.
Would you bring
That's
back
crazy?
Would you bring back Chuck Clark?
That to me, that would be the first option. He definitely would be my first option, because guess what? When you know how remember how surprised how happy we were when he signed, and it was again another Jets thing. The man had been basically an Iron Man. Got to New Jersey, boom, blew out his knees, out for a season. How do you not tell me that the Jets are cursed? I hate saying it, but come on.
I know.
Do you think they'll go big at safety? You know, like one of the bigger names, like Kyle Duggar, Micah Hyde. You think they'll go that big or no?
I don't know about that. I don't think that's a way to go. Not for what they would want. If I just pointed out the snap numbers we're talking about, Duggar is not the kind of guy you want to put in these situations. I think he's even worse than Whitehead
Oh,
when it
wow.
comes to that. So not in play overall. I'm just talking about what the Jets would use him for.
Right.
You know, what the player you need. You need a player that's a short tackler and a player that is good in coverage, especially in short areas, which Chuck Clark has shown in history in the NFL that that's his game. You know, one of the more short tacklers in the NFL in all of the years he's been in the league. I think that fits his game incredibly. I think that would be the position. That would definitely be the guy or the option for me, or the first option.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but that's going to be something definitely to keep an eye on. Couple other spots. I know, like we talk about quarterback, definitely need a backup. I hope that they draft one too at some point. I know it's not going to be in the first round, but let's hope at some point they draft a quarterback that they could start developing and hopefully is going to be there in another year or two after Rodgers leaves. But defensive tackle, I think, is another spot. I don't know if it's in free agency or in a draft. I think we're gonna be a little busy there because Antoine Staley brought that up today too in one of his tweets. Because everybody's thinking, oh, we're gonna go all in on offense with our draft this year. But he was like, we also, you know, he goes, the Jets also need a defensive tackle. So he goes, I wouldn't
Yeah,
be
and his
surprised.
he brought up Sweat, the defensive lineman from what is it, from Clemson.
Yeah, I think so.
When he was talking about him, an incredible player. Extremely explosive, extremely powerful. A lot of the times, if you want to kill him for it, you would say that probably that it flashes in and out, and you just need to find him to get him to keep that going. You know, that intensity. I mean, Texas. I think I'm sorry, not Texas. He's the Texas defensive lineman, T'Vondre Sweat. He's a player, I think, that's possibly a second round player. Not possibly. I think that's what he is. So probably it'll be hard for the Jets to get their hands on a player like that, but that's what they need. They need someone that is an incredible penetrator and that's good at a stopping the run. You know, so that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so I think those are the big spots. Tackle, obviously tackle, interior, it could be anything on the offensive line, but definitely tackle. Safety, DT for sure as well. Quarterback two, you know, a good backup quarterback this year has to be. I mean, even Woody Johnson brought it up. So obviously, and it was his fault why we didn't get a backup quarterback this year, but that goes without saying. But I think they have to be more prepared this year with a backup quarterback. And another spot too is a running back. I don't know if they're going to go the draft for that or if they're going to bring in a veteran to be behind Breece Hall. So that's going to be interesting what route they go on because they did draft Izzy last year, hardly played, so we can't really go by him if he's going to be ready to be that main backup this year. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
that would be definitely be an interesting position to pick. I agree that they do need a backup. I would go draft because I think you would be able to get an incredibly talented player late in the draft.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting position to look at. But I agree that it's needed. It definitely is.
Yeah, definitely. And there's options too with running back. This is a big year. If you're looking for a running back, whether it's a starter or a backup,
Yeah. Yep.
I'm in free agency this year. There's a lot of good names. I mean, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Cordarrelle Patterson, Gus Edwards, Zeke
Eckler. Eckler is not a bad. He's not a bad look, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's going to look for a starter. So I don't think we'll. I don't think that's a guy. We're going to need someone more like a maybe a Devin Singletary, Edwards-Helaire. Who else? Cam Akers too is a free agent. When he's healthy, that kid is good too.
Definitely, you're right.
But unfortunately, he gets hurt a lot. Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, AJ Dillon. There's the Green Bay connection, so that would and he would be great because he's good short yardage guy. He's a guy you could ground and pound if you got the lead late in the game. You know, that's not a bad.
I think Dillon is more than a short yardage guy. That's one of the more.
Oh yeah,
he is. Yeah, I think he's one of the more dynamic backup running backs that there is in the league. So. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get picked up really quickly because I think he complements a lot of backs that are starters that could go the distance, that could run that way. He could also do that. He is explosive enough, even if he wouldn't call it elite level. Like you said, he's very physical. And also, I think one of the things that people don't talk a lot about when it comes to backup running backs, but you got to be able to block or run, you know, a blocking scheme too, pass block. So, yeah. And I think he does it pretty well. So, yeah, I think he's one of those names that I would be looking at most definitely.
Definitely. And a couple of the big names that have been tagged already, T. Higgins from Cincinnati, mentioned that a little bit earlier, and L'Jarius Sneed from Kansas City has been tagged as well.
I saw that coming from a mile.
But
would never let that guy go anywhere.
But you know what? It's him and Chris Jones are both free agents this year.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to sign both. That's going to be tough.
The magic of the
they're going to have to work some big time magic.
Yeah, they got to pull that rabbit out their hat. We'll see it.
Yeah, but they said they would be open to trading him if they can't lock him into a long-term deal, so that'll be interesting to watch. And another name too, not connected to us, but Brian Burns from Carolina.
Oh, that's a big name.
Yeah, and listen, and he wants big time money. They're saying he wants like Chris Jones money, like $30 million a season.
He's one of those players now.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying. Listen, they need to get their money, so I'm all for it. But it'll be interesting because Carolina. You know, Carolina needs a lot of help. So if they're smart, I think as great as Brian Burns is.
Yeah, paying a pass rusher that much money when you can't get good players all over your team, it doesn't really make any sense, right?
Yeah, they need help. So I'm thinking he's going to get traded for sure.
Yes, it feels that way.
Yeah, Sneed, I think they're going to keep. They'll figure something out, especially I think the way that defense is. I think you need a good corner, so I would think they're going to keep him. They'll figure.
Oh yeah, this guy's. It's been said following a lot of NFL talking heads that their secondary is one of the best in the NFL, and when I look at them and I look at ours, we're not. They're not on our level when it comes to secondaries. Yep. Yeah, oh yeah, most definitely. I agree.
Do you have any guesses on because they gave Zach Wilson permission to talk to other teams about possibly a trade? Do you have any guesses where you think he might be able to go?
Not at all. Not at all, man. When you weigh everything that's happened in New York and the stigma that's followed him of someone that's entitled, somebody that wants stuff given to him, that he hasn't developed his game because he's not as hardworking as people as he was advertised to be. It will be hot. He will be hard pressed to find a spot, man. I think he might be standing outside the NFL looking in, which is a tough place to be. But yeah, I just can't see it right now, Chris. I don't know if it's because I'm too close to the story as a Jets fan, and I saw him struggle so much. I know you could pin a lot of his failures on the coaching staff and how the Jets handled him, but I'm sorry. At the end of the day, the common denominator still remains you. And at some point, you have your future in your hands. And this kid fumbled complete. Like he.
No, definitely.
He showed some flashes here and there, whatever. But the things that you needed him to do, for some reason, he just couldn't get himself to do it. You know, you can't stop. You know, you can't keep struggling and, you know, noticing, not noticing, but reading NFL defenses, understanding where the ball should be going, you know.
You know,
I don't know.
Scott brought up, you know, Scott from Play Like a Jet. He just tweeted a little bit a while ago. He said their best chance is probably to a team that doesn't have an established quarterback like Denver, because now Denver's probably going to be cutting Russell Wilson. We all know that whole mess too. That's another big mess. Minnesota, they're probably not going to re-sign Kirk Cousins.
Right.
They don't have anybody there. And Atlanta.
When you put it that way, yeah, I agree. I understand.
I mean, we're just not going to get much for him.
No.
just because there's a thing out there willing and, to be like, yeah, all right, we'll take
nobody, it. Nobody's going to pay any price for him. No. You're probably going to let him go through everything first, and then somebody's going to dive for him on the low end. You know, so that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, one of those pick swaps or low pick, the seventh round. Yeah. At best, so it doesn't matter where he goes. We're not going to get much for him. And then the other thing that came out today, too, real quick before we go, it looks like it's going to be the Jets and the Jags in London this year, so which is pretty cool. But we're not losing a home game. It's a Jags home game, thankfully. So I like that. I wish I could go, but I don't think this year is going to be the right time, but.
No, this year is not going to be the right time. We're going to save these travels for when our team starts, whatever age it's going to be that me and you are going to be, when they start being successful, we're going to save those trips for them.
Yes.
Because we're doing it. If they're winning, we're traveling across the pond. Yes, we're doing it.
Yeah, definitely. But it's cool. You know, what's good about it is, and hopefully we're playing good at the time, is that it highlights your team, right? Because we get that early game in the morning.
Yes.
You're the only game on. It's like a Monday night game, a Sunday night game. And it's cool because you get to show, your team gets to show off a little bit. And hopefully we're playing good at the time. Hopefully, and Aaron Rodgers, if you've seen Ian O'Connell, who's writing a book on Aaron Rodgers, came out and basically said that he's hoping that it's a hopefully, he said he's hoping for a Jets versus Green Bay Super Bowl. And he says, here's why. He goes, my upcoming biography of Aaron Rodgers, I saw him recently and he looks pretty jacked in the upper body. He confirmed he got bigger and he looks ready for a fight. So that gives us a little bit of, feeling, you know, positive feeling going into the season with Aaron Rodgers. He's bulking up a little bit. That's great.
Hey, Chris.
But
hey, Chris.
I know.
Since you played the good cop, I'm going to play the bad cop. Hey, Ian O'Connell. Thank you for doing your part to sell your book the best you can. I'm happy for you. I'm probably going to read it since you got me. But that's as far as I go. You can't get my hopes up. I'm a Jets fan.
You know what? At least I found it funny. Not funny, but I was happy because I'm like, you know what? Through all the negative stupid stuff we heard today, at least there was a little bit of positivity that we could cling on to. You know, not much, but there's a little bit of positivity. Like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is working out. He's bulking up. That's great. Okay, we could put the Mecole Hardman stuff and all that and whatever else we heard today, we could put that aside for a second. And we got it out of our system today anyway, so that's good. Let's just hope, and that's why, you know what, we ended this show anyway on a positive note, we started off a little negative, but at least we ended it on a positive note somewhat. So hopefully we'll keep it going. But the combine is this week, so if anybody's interested, definitely it's interesting to see. But just real quick, I think I've told this to you already, but I seen like Marvin Harrison is not going to do anything. I think he's there, but I don't think he's going to run or, you know, compete in any of the events or whatever. But, Marvin Harrison has nothing to prove. He's going to be most likely the top player picked, other than a quarterback, right, in the draft. So he's got absolutely nothing to prove. And a lot of these top guys have nothing to prove. So I'm surprised some of them still going. You know, I understand guys that are lower in the draft, second, third, fourth, fifth round, they want to maybe boost their stock up a little bit. I'm all for it, especially guys that are in, you know, the smaller colleges, not the ones in the major colleges. And I get those guys wanting to do it because, you know, some teams just don't have that much film on them. But I mean, Marvin Harrison could just say, here's my game film. You know what I could do. I don't need to do it, in a t-shirt and shorts. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
That's been my feeling like the last few years. I'm like, what are these guys? They're risking, you know, most likely there's no injury, but you never know, you know, on turf. You
right.
Never know what could happen. So I don't know what you think, but that's my honest opinion with.
Oh, no, I agree. I think the draft at this point is for these middling players that haven't boosted their stock enough or haven't. Or feels like the narrative surrounding their play and who they are is not where they want it to be. And they want to boost it and they want to show off. This is what the combine is for. I don't think the combine is for the guys that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you.
One guy who we talked about him a little bit during the week was JJ McCarthy. I'm curious to see how he does a little bit too, because yeah, he's got film, but he doesn't have the film that some of these other guys have.
Yes.
That was such a run-based offense in Michigan.
Yep. You need to see him throw the ball more. You need to see him consistently throw some of these other different types of routes that you're wondering if he could do that on a consistent basis and show his arm strength throwing the ball from, you know, hash to hash. Because this is the NFL now, bro. This is not college football. So being able to throw people open is the game. If you can't do it, you can't cut your teeth in the NFL. So, I agree. There's a lot of interesting players that need to be in the draft. McCarthy is in the combine, and McCarthy definitely is one of them for me.
Yeah, because he's kind of, I don't want to say he's an unknown. He's obviously not an unknown.
No, definitely not.
I just want to see him. I want to see the arm strength and everything else. And he's a guy that can boost his stock a little bit, because we've heard a lot of different things from him almost every like player profile you read about him, it gives you, you know, a lot of good stuff, but also some bad stuff too. And it's kind of like, you know, he's going to go in the first round, but it's just a matter of how high. It's like, is a team going to really, like if a team really falls in love with him, that's a little bit lower past us, you know, we might get a good option to trade down. You know what I mean? And somebody might say, "Hey, we want JJ McCarthy at 10 and might want to trade up." And that's ideal for us. So I'm rooting for JJ McCarthy to go off, you know, in the scouting combine, and somebody fall totally in love with him and say, okay, we got to trade up and get this guy, you know? So that's what I'm hoping for, among other things, but we'll see. But anyway, scouting combine this weekend. Definitely check it out. And that's about it. You know, next week, I think we could start talking about the draft a little bit more since we got into the free agency a little bit today. Maybe we'll start getting into the draft a little bit more. Hopefully no
dumb news comes out about the Jets next week. I'm sure some of it might, but let's hope not. But anyway, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you guys next week.
Take it easy, guys.